Watch the Lamb. See, he didn't stay there, amen? He rose again 3 days later. Could you imagine the gruesomeness of that event without the resurrection? Oh, my. What a Savior we serve. Amen. Judges chapter number 6 is where we're at this morning. Right in the midst of the book of Judges, we find a man by the name of Gideon. I'm assuming here that most gathered in the room today have heard this name, probably even heard this event told before. And we're going to look at this morning and draw some principles from it and see what God would have for us this morning. In the 11th verse, get some context here. The Bible says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is in Ophrah. And that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my father is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of Ephrah, a flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, unto this day as it is in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, and in the ordered place take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. I want you to drop down to chapter 7, in verse number 1. The Bible says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, their people are yet too many. Bring them down to under the water, and I will, or unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands up to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go, every one unto his own place. I want to preach a message entitled this morning, It's Time to Let Go. It's time to let go. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your goodness to us. God, as we come to you, I ask that as we have read your word this morning, as we see these events in the life of Gideon, Father, may we make application for ourselves here today. And Father, as we apply this, may we see exactly what you would have us to do, that we would see exactly where you would have us to go, and Father, that you would strengthen us, that you would equip us, and Father, that we would go where you send us. Help us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to go back to chapter 6. We're going to be in both of these chapters here this morning, and just want to recall some of the things that we just read, and then we will make some application as to what and how this may apply to our lives here this morning. Gideon was a poor man from Israel. The Bible's pretty clear on that as far as what is taking place within this particular chapter. Into chapter 7, the Midianites had come in and they were oppressing Israel. They were battling against them and they were winning. And they had placed upon the Israelites multiple things that made it uncomfortable for them. We see and we find in the very beginning here, as Gideon is there, he is working and he's working diligently. And he's working at his father's threshold, and he is trying to hide the wine because the Midianites are coming in and they're going to take whatever they want. But during this time, as Gideon is there, he seems to be working by himself, and the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, "Thou art a mighty man of valor." Now, isn't it interesting, God's perspective upon Gideon's life that Gideon didn't have? When he said, "Thou mighty man of valor," Gideon did not see himself as a mighty man of valor. He didn't see himself as a warrior. He didn't see himself as anything other than what he said in verse number 15, as he said, "Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." He said, "I'm nothing." He said, "I don't know why you would be calling me a mighty man of valor, saying the Lord is with me." If you look back at verse number 13, he says, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Gideon asks a question. He says, if God is for us and God is with us and God is as is and can do all of these miraculous things and can do and has done all these things. He says, is this not the same God that brought us up out of Egypt, but now has brought us into this land to forsake us? Is this not the same God? The Bible says in verse number 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Interesting here. Gideon asked a question. Did he not? How many would say that from the question that Gideon asked in verse number 13, that he had answered in verse number 14? Now, he responded to him, but the question is not fully answered the way that Gideon probably expected it to be answered. I mean, he wanted to know, if God is for us, why is all of this happening? If God is with us, why is all of this happening? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites? He's saying, God's forsaken us. But yet God says, no, I've called on you. He didn't get the answer necessarily that he was looking for, but he did get an answer from God. He said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of thy Midianites. Have not I sent thee? What God is saying to Gideon during this time is saying, look, is God with you? Certainly he is. He is sending you, isn't he? He's telling you to go. He's telling you to do these things. And that's when Gideon comes up with the next question. He says, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my father or my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. Verse 16, he answers the question again. He says, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now here's Gideon. He says, okay, if I have found grace in thy sight, he said, don't go anywhere. I'll be back. Don't go anywhere till I get back. Now, I don't know how long Gideon took, but he went, and the Bible tells us that he went and found a kid, a goat. He made some cakes and put it all in a basket, put some broth in a pot, and he brings it back to this angel. Now, again, I don't know how long that took, but I'm certain it probably took a little while. So he goes, he prepares all of these things, he places it at the feet of this angel. The angel says, put it on the rock. He places it on the rock, and then this angel takes the rod out that he had, he touches the rock, and it catches on fire and consumes everything there, and then the angel disappears. Gideon's like, whoa. Wow. What was that? He said, surely I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the angel comes back. The angel comes back. Gives Gideon another task. He says in verse number 25, that same night the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath cut down, or that thy father hath, sorry, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So Gideon's fear here, we see, was very real. We see that after he did this thing, we didn't take time to read it earlier, but we see the fury of the men. I mean, they'd built this grove, they had built this altar for Baal, and they woke up one night, and boom, there it was. It was gone, and there's a new altar there in place. You talk about furious. They were furious. They were not happy. They were not pleased. And you can look through that in verse number 28. The Bible says, And the men of the city arose early in the morning. Behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? When they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die. There's the fury. It was real. The fury was real. And it was reflected. They said, we want to kill him. But Joash said in verse number 31, unto all that stood against him, he said, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst yet is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. I kind of like that. He says, if Baal's a god, let him take care of himself. He doesn't need you. They said, oh, okay. Gideon, of course, you can see where he's a little nervous, can't you? At this point of his life. I mean, God told him, cut it down, and they said, hey, we want to kill you. So we find and we go into the place where we're probably the most familiar with Gideon. And this is the time where Gideon talks about and asks God to put out the fleece. And Gideon's going to put this fleece out, and he's going to lay it out there. And look what he says in verse number 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he arose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed out the dew of the fleece, a bowl full of water. What happens? And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak. But this once let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all on all the ground. Here we have Gideon trying God, it seems. The first thing he says is, don't leave until I come back. Don't leave until I come back. And he comes back and he shows him something. He says, surely I've seen God. I've seen the angel of God face to face. Surely I have. But now the men want to kill him, and Gideon's saying, all right, look, if you want me to save Israel, this is what you've truly called me to do. He said, I'm going to put this out here, and this fleece of wool. And he said, I want the wool to be soaking wet in the morning, and I'll do it. So he goes up, goes to bed, comes the next day, gets the wool, it's all soaking wet, wrings it out into a bowl, and he says, okay, God, please don't be mad at me, but tomorrow I'm going to set this fleece out here and let it be dry and all the earth around it wet. I wake up. So the very next day, he gets up, and there it is. Everything else around the wool is wet, and the wool is totally dry. Okay, here we go. It's time. So Gideon says, we're going to take the Midianites. We get into chapter 7, and we find 30,000 men that are ready to go to battle against the Midianites. 30,000 men, that's a lot of men. But he got them together. I don't know what speech Gideon gave, but the people of Israel were tired of the Midianites. So enough that 30,000 of them got together and said, all right, let's go. But God said, wait just a second. He said, Gideon, it's too many. He said, some of these guys might be afraid. He said, I want you to dismiss all the ones that are fearful. So Gideon stands up, 30,000 men. He says, all right, guys, any of you that are afraid to go to battle against the Midianites, I want you to leave now. 22, I believe it says. Yep, 22,000 in verse number 3. So 32,000 men total. 22,000 of them leave because they're afraid. Uh-oh. We go from 32,000 to 10,000. Not liking these odds. God says to Gideon, still too many, we need to dismiss some more. Really? So I want you to take them down to the water. He said, and they're going to drink. He said, and those that go down and they get on their hands and knees and lap up the water like a dog, I want you to set them to one side, and those that cup it with their hand and bring it their hand to their mouth, I want you to set to the other side. Now, I'm assuming they must have been thirsty. Okay? They just must have been thirsty. Because 10,000 that were left go down, and 9,700 of them lap it up like a dog. God says, set them on this side, 300 on this side. Now, I don't know what was going through Gideon's mind, but in my mind, if I were Gideon, I would have been walking over 300 and saying, all right, God wants you to leave. That's not what God had. He said, you send those 9,700 home, and I'm going to save Israel with you and these 300 men. And that's exactly what takes place. They were divided. God confirmed. The concept was developed for the lanterns and to circle the army of the Midianites, and they ended up taking themselves out. You say, Pastor, we get this. We've been to Gideon before, but what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with me? I want to show you just a few principles here from the book of Judges of what is taking place and how we can apply it to our lives. You see, God called Gideon for a task. We've been talking now for 5-6 weeks about the task that God has given to you and I to take place. He has given us a task of world evangelism. I'm telling you, folks, there are roughly 7 billion people on this planet, probably a little bit more. We've got to reach them. We have a task to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a task to tell others that Jesus Christ died to save them, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That is our task. And that Jesus has paid sin's debt upon their life that they might have freedom, that they might have new life, that they might have it more abundantly, and that they might have eternal life that God has promised to them. That is the task that we have been given. The fact of the matter is this, it's time to let go. You say, what do we got to let go of? When I look at Gideon and I see some of the things that he had to let go of, the first thing that I see that Gideon had to let go of and that you and I must too let go of is the perception of overnight success. Gideon this didn't happen in one night. This didn't happen. The angel of the Lord came and said, Gideon, I want you to do this. And Gideon woke up the next day and went and fought the battle against the Midianites. Look, folks, can I just fill you in on something? The Christian life is a process. Amen. It's a process. It is a lifelong process. We learn things. And we get so caught up in our society and everything being fast. I want it. I want it now. Somebody years ago, Burger King had their slogan, you can have it your way, right? Anybody remember that? I don't know what their slogan is now. Is it still the same thing? No? Yes? Some of you have no idea, and you're not Burger King fans, I guess. But years ago, when I was a kid, the whole idea behind Burger King was, you can have it your way. Well, we liked that. And we've been caught up in this fast food society, and really just not just fast food, but everything has to be fast. Right? I mean, everything. We want everything fast. We have microwaves now. I mean, it makes it fast. We have, you know, fast food can't be fast enough. Every new product that comes out, what is it? It's fast. And it's faster than the one before. And we get so consumed with and we get so caught up with, we want everything to be fast. We want everything to be quick. We want everything to be, you know, have all of these things that we can just have fast, 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 fast. And we think, oh, overnight, everything's going to be better. Everything may not be better overnight. We've got to get past this and let go of this perception of this overnight success that I'm just going to wake up and boom, there it is. Okay, I'm a Christian now. Well, there is a process here. We've got to read the Bible. We've got to know the Bible. We've got to know who God is. And man, I'm telling you, we can know who God is. We most certainly can. We most certainly should. And we've got to let go of the thinking that it's too late. That was one of the problems Gideon had. In verse number 13, the Bible says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Folks, we've got to let go of thinking that it's too late. Some might say, God's done with our country. I don't think God's done with our country. I think God still wants to save people. Amen. And hey, can I just fill us in on something? I don't think the rest of the world is dependent upon what God does with America. Ooh. Now we're meddling, right? The rest of the world is not dependent upon America, at least with what God's going to do. But yet we've operated in that thinking for so long that we say, oh, it's too late. It's too late. You say, oh, we would never say that out loud, but we think that. God can't do anything here. Really? We are talking about God, right? When it comes to God, it's never too late. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever is it too late for God. And we've got to let go of this thinking that it's just too late. It's too late for Him. So, oh, it's too late for Him. He's gone too far. No. Not with God. Why? Because we have such a wonderful, long-suffering, merciful God. Oh, the mercy of God is ever-reaching. We've got to let go of this perception of overnight success. It just fix it overnight. We've got to let go of this thinking that it's too late. We've got to let go of the negativity thinking and speaking. Gideon said, how am I going to save Israel? He said, I'm poor. And not only am I poor, but I'm the least of the ones in my family. Can't do a thing. Why would anybody use me? Why would anybody listen to me? We have that same thinking sometimes. Why would anybody listen to me? It's not about anybody listening to us as much as it is the message that we have to give. It's not about us at all. It's about Him, though. We've got to get rid of the negativity and start thinking about what God can do and what God wants to do. When Gideon finally figured out, hey, okay, this is from God, God came and said, hey, I've got a task for you to do. I want you to look what he did. He said, all right, I'll do it. I'll go tear down the altar of Baal, but I'm going at night. I don't want anybody to know. Look what he did in verse number 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants. You know what Gideon said? He said, I got to have help. I got to have some help here. Can I just fill you in on something? If we're going to let go, and we're going to let go of the perception of this overnight success, we're going to get let go of this thinking that it's too late, we're going to let go of this negativity in our lives, we must let go of the fact that we must do everything ourselves. We have this thinking, we have this thing that permeates our society, that if you want something done right, you've got to do it yourself. I just don't see that here. Gideon went and he found some help. They got 10 men. And they went and together they did what God told Gideon to do. It's time to let go of these things. And in letting go of these things, we must secondly focus on some things. So if I'm going to let go of all of this other stuff and say, all right, this is over here. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not too late. This negativity, if it can't happen and it's not going to happen and it's worthless and all of this stuff, we're leaving this behind. Going to have to find some help here. We're going to have to focus on some things. Number one, we must focus on what you know God has called you. Now look, there may be some questions and there may be some reservations. Gideon had them. He had them. I mean, and it's reasonable to have some reservations. It's reasonable to have some questions about what God has called us to do. But when we have questions, God gives answers. I've heard, you know, many, many times in my life, This passage preached on where Gideon was made out to be, you know, unfaithful and questioning and all of these things. But I want you to notice something. When Gideon put the fleece out and said, God, I want it to be wet in the fleece and dry all around it, God just said, Gideon, trust me. Gideon, how dare you question me? Don't you know who I am? Isn't that what happened? No. Gideon said, I'm going to put this fleece out here. I want it to be wet and I want the ground to be all dry around it. No dew, just on the fleece. Gideon woke up. He went out. He picked the fleece up. It was soaking wet and he wrung the a bowl of water. I said, all right, God, don't be mad at me, but I'm going to put it out here and I want the dew to be all around it. And the fleece dry. And God said, are you kidding me? We just did the opposite yesterday. Is that not enough? Never mind, I'll go find someone else. Forget you, Gideon. No. God said, okay. I can do that. He woke up the next day and he went out to find dry fleece. You see, God did so. Look at verse number 40. Look at that phrase. And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God did so. God did so. We must learn to focus on what we know God has called us to do. There is not a doubt in my mind what God has called each one of us to do this morning. He wants us to tell others about Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. So we need to focus on that. We need to focus on how, not just what God has called us to do, but we also need to focus on how we can accomplish what God has called us to do. You say, all right, I know what God's called me to do. Now how do I accomplish that? How do I go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? How do I do that? Well, the first way to do that is everyone we meet, we probably ought to talk to. Well, that's a novel idea. We're going to go and do, how am I going to do this? How am I going to formulate a plan, and how am I going to meet people that don't know the Lord? Well, I've got to ask them, do you know the Lord? And those that know the Lord, we can rejoice that they know the Lord, and those that don't, we can give them the gospel. But I want to remind you, the Bible says, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. How can I do that? Well, we find in Romans 10, and again, I'm trying to go fast here because we've gone over all of this, but in Romans 10, how shall they preach except they be sent? We have some sending to do. Because I may not be able to go into all the world, but I can send someone who's willing to go. So I'm going to focus on what God wants me to do, and I'm going to focus on how I can accomplish what God wants me to do. And thirdly, it's time to focus on who God has called us to do it with. It's interesting to me that God called Gideon. He said, I'm going to lead you here. And you are going to be instrumental in defeating the Midianites yourself. But then God allowed him to take some with him. Who are we going to do this with? Well, the first thing I see, if you are a person, you're going to have to do it yourself. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you said I didn't have to do it all by myself. Well, it's going to start with you. Can't start with anybody else. If God has given you a plan and given you something to do, it has to start with you. But God is giving you people around you to do it with. If you're married today, God's given you a spouse. Amen. God's given you a spouse. No one sounds joyful about that. Amen. Yay. Amen. I mean, come on. I have two joyful people that you're married? I mean, God has given you a spouse to do this with. Yeah, that's a little better. I'm just going to leave that alone. If you have children, God's given you children to do this with. God has given you a church to do this with. What I'm trying to get at is here, none of us on our own are left alone to say, hey, you have to do this all by yourself. It's only you. The rest of the world relies upon you, whether they go to heaven or hell. Just upon you. There's folks all around you. We have a church that we've joined together, a group of saved, baptized believers that are come together, that have joined themselves together to perpetrate and to take the gospel and to permeate the gospel to a lost and dying world. We don't have to do this alone. We can do it together. We use this phrase all the time, with many hands make light work. The more hands we have, the more we can do, and the faster we can get it done. But we have to let go of these things. Because these things that we're holding on to, this overnight success, this thinking it's too late, this negativity that's in our lives, this thinking that we must do everything ourselves, I'm telling you, it is holding us back. It's holding us back in ourselves. It's holding us back in our marriages. It's holding us back in our families. It's holding us back in our church, thinking that we must do it all ourselves when God has given us a task that we must do. It's time to focus. It's time to narrow this thing down and say, what am I going to do? And who am I going to do it with? And there may be some. It's interesting that there were only 300 that Gideon got to do it with. There were many others before. 31,000 plus. Gideon thought, man, we could do this. You see, God is not confined by odds. Amen. He's above the odds. It's not a risky thing. This is a God thing. World evangelism is not risky. It's godly. Because God has called us to it. What are we going to do? You going to let go? Are you going to focus? I trust you will. Because we have much to do. We have many places to go. We have a task to fulfill. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. It's time to let go, and it's time to focus. What are you doing? In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. I don't know how you need to respond, but you might need to. Because it's one of two things. You're either going to stay focused on yourself and your circumstances and everything else in life that's wrong, or you're going to focus on what God's called you to do.